You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to this Friday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please give the show a good review. And while you're giving it a review, make sure to leave your Twitter handle to be entered into a contest for a free Pro Football Focus subscription. Well, the Jets are heading into their Week 8 game against the Atlanta Falcons, and after this game, the season will be halfway done, which is kind of tough to believe. Feels like yesterday the Jets were kicking off Week 1 against the Buffalo Bills, but it's the way the NFL season goes. It just flies by. Yesterday, we spoke with the host of Locked On Falcons, and we got his perspective on the way the Falcons are performing. We got his perspective on some of the key players, some of the interesting aspects of the team. Today, we're going to talk about the game, and we're going to provide you the same preview we've provided all year, where I'm going to give you one key player, one key matchup, and one key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. So let's start on the offense, and my key player is Wesley Johnson, the center, and I think he's a guy who has become sort of a lightning rod for this Jets fan base. I think there's a lot of frustration with his play. There are lots of moves that this regime made in the offseason that have really worked out. There are lots they went out on a limb a couple of times with their moves, and they have a number of success stories. Another guy on the offensive line, Kelvin Beachum's a good example. I think Beachum's playing well. Johnson is one of the moves that has not worked out. It's been a big struggle for him. And when you watch this team on film, it's striking how many failed plays you can ultimately trace back to Johnson not doing something correctly. And that's no great surprise, because center is a very important position on offense. It's something I think maybe is underappreciated, the value of that position, because the center is the guy who sets the protection. He sets up the blocking schemes. You need a guy who's really smart there, and you need a guy who's athletic, who can fire off the ball after it's snapped. It's an important spot, and the Jets have just not gotten quality play out of the center position this year. Our friend Aaron from Locked On Falcons told you yesterday that he thinks that the Falcons' key spots, they may just line Grady Jarrett, their talented defensive lineman, up against him, and it's going to be up to Johnson to hold him in check. Now we'll go to the defensive side of the ball, and my key player is Darren Lee. And I'll tell you something. You may have heard me on the Monday show talk about Lee playing a poor game. I reevaluated him after I watched the game a second time, and I came away with a much more positive view on the type of game Lee played. I don't think it was a spectacular game, but I thought it was probably his most solid game of the year, and there were some things to like. He actually was able to get off some blocks, which has been a rare occurrence during his brief 2-year career. Now, is this a turning point? I can't tell you that it is, but there were some encouraging signs, and this is a player who had really shown you very few encouraging signs. Even as the team was surprising people, even as the Jets were winning games, the Jets were beating expectations, Lee was a guy who was really struggling out there. His partner DeMario Davis had a brutal first two games, and he's been up and down since those first two games. I mean, there have been some pretty ugly moments for Davis as well, but there had also been some really good moments. Prior to last week, there really had not been many great moments for Lee, but I thought he had a pretty solid game. Now, he was beaten a couple key spots in coverage, but I thought there were some things to like, and he's my key player this week because of, again, something we talked about with Aaron of Locked On Falcons on yesterday's show, and that is the Falcons are a team that can run they have the personnel to run the ball quite effectively, and Lee's going to be an important component in stopping the run, and he has not been this year. For most of the year, the Jets' run defense has struggled quite a bit, and it's not all Lee's fault. Of course, it's not. It doesn't come down to one player. There are plenty of guys who have had disappointing years. Muhammad Wilkerson's another guy who, disappointing up to last week, played a great game last week. I'm not pinning it all on Lee, but I think Lee is going to have an important role in slowing down this Atlanta rushing attack. He's going to have to play a high-quality game for the Jets to win. So Darren Lee is my key player on the defensive side of the ball for the Jets. Now, for my key matchup on the offensive side of the ball, I am going with Vic Beasley against the Jets tackles. And it'll be interesting to see where they line Beasley up, whether they avoid Kelvin Beachum. They may, and Brandon Shell's status is still not entirely clear. Of course, the right tackle suffered an injury early in the game against Miami last week. Shell has missed practice on both Wednesday and Thursday. Now, Todd Bowles said on Wednesday that Shell was day-to-day. He's dealing with a neck injury, but day-to-day doesn't mean he's coming back tomorrow. It just means he could. And Shell probably will need to practice today to get into the lineup. It's not necessarily a rock-solid guarantee, but I think Shell is probably not going to be in the lineup if he doesn't practice in this game. And I think the matchup speaks for itself. The Jets need to counter a guy who's developing into one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. Beasley is the type of guy who can destroy a game for you, against you, or for you. 15.5 sacks a year ago, and the Jets may have some issues if Shell's, even if Shell's in, this is a tough matchup. And Shell's been a little up and down against these premier pass rushers. We know he did pretty well against Khalil Mack week two. Cameron Wake week three was more of a struggle for him. So if he's in there, I mean, there's no lock. He'd play well against Beasley. Brent Qualley, I think, would have his hands full with Beasley. I think that's a very rough matchup for the Jets if that comes into play. Beachum has played well. We'll see, you know, when Beasley lines up against him, we'll see how Beachum holds up. You know, buying tickets for sports and concerts can be difficult, but there is a better, simpler way to buy, with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Now let's move to the defensive side of the ball, and my key matchup in this game is Maurice Claiborne versus Julio Jones. And I think that, again, I think this one could be a tough matchup for the Jets. I think Claiborne has played well relative to his salary. I think at $5 million, you're very happy what you're getting from Claiborne. I don't think he's been spectacular, though. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not even sure he's shown you he's a guy who's a number one corner in this league, but I think he's shown you a guy who looks like he belongs in this league, looks like he's starter-level material. I'm not sure he's the number one corner, and I'm certainly not sure he's ready to take on Julio Jones one-on-one. And he's probably going to have to handle Julio quite a bit just based on the way the Jets run their scheme. The Jets have used Claiborne to shadow receivers quite a bit this year. And by shadow, what I mean is there are kind of two different approaches you can take to using your corners. One is you just line him up the same place every down, and he takes whatever receiver comes there. So if he likes the left side, he goes there. Likes the right side, he goes there. Likes the slot, he goes there. And the advantage to that is the guy gets comfortable with a certain area, certain, you know, understands how to play the angles on a route. it's kind of something that's in it's something he feels in his wheelhouse. He's more comfortable there. The other approach is shadowing, where you have a guy, and when he breaks the huddle, you follow him wherever he goes. He goes left, you go with him. He goes right, you go with him. The Jets have shadowed more, and the advantage of that is obvious. It's you get the matchup you want. You don't let the other team dictate the matchups, because if you're sending your guy to the same spot every down, the other team can avoid certain corners. They can have their best receiver avoid your top corner. So that's the advantage to that. And which approach is better? Well, it's a matter of preference. I prefer shadowing if you have a top guy, but I think it's a tough matchup. I think Claiborne is probably the best corner the Jets have, and he should see a healthy share of Jones. Jones is, again, another guy on this Atlanta team who can wreck a game, so the Jets will need to get a big game out of Claiborne. Now, let's talk about a key to victory, and my key, and this is, I may be repeating myself just because this is the way I feel the Jets should be on offense, is I think they need to establish the run early. I think that this is a game where 17 points is probably not going to get it done. The Jets are going to need to put together some drives, some scoring drives, to win this game. And that means that they're going, the way this team is built, they're going to have to stay ahead of the chains. This is not a dynamic passing offense. This is not the type of offense that can survive if you stick it in too many third and long situations. So that means running successfully on early downs. And again, our friend Aaron told you that there are signs you can run on this Atlanta team, and I think the backs on this team are the best thing the Jets have going. So I think you need to establish the run, you need to establish it early, and you need to stay ahead of the change. Keep your third downs manageable, because when you start putting this offense into third and long, that's when you get into trouble. That's when you're apt to make mistakes. That's a situation you just don't want to get in, because you don't really have the playmakers to succeed, to make a ton of big splash plays in the passing game. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to give you a little key, and that's, again, we'll go back to the Claiborne-Jones matchup. I think that the Jets, when they can, and look, there are going to be situations where Claiborne's going to have to hold up one-on-one. I think more often than they usually do, they're going to have to give Claiborne some help in this one. I don't love the idea of Claiborne on an island the entire game against Julio Jones. I think that they're going to have to help him out a little more. Again, you can't do it every single play. There are going to be certain plays where you have to cover Julio one-on-one, but I think, and the Jets are a team, they like to blitz, they like to leave their corners one-on-one. I think that this is the type of game where maybe they back off the pedal a little bit, because, and this is all relatively speaking, of course you're still going to blitz, not like you're never going to blitz, but I would back off the pedal a little bit in terms of tendencies, maybe blitz a little less, maybe give Claiborne a little extra help. And Atlanta does have other targets they can go to. They can spread the ball around, but I would prefer to take Julio away. It's the old Bill Belichick school, is to take you away, take away the thing you do best, and leaves you vulnerable for other things. But if the other team executes by doing something that is not their best thing, then you tip your cap to them, because what your goal is to take them out of their comfort zone, take away the thing they do best. I'm not sure you can take away Julio Jones, but I think to the extent you can help Claiborne out, you should do it. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify. We will be back again Monday to break down the game. Hope you enjoy it.